The previous Mishnah ended off with an example of Tumarat Tzutza. Tumarat Tzutza is when there is a piece of a dead body in an area that has something on top of it. It has a form of a roof, but there is not an empty space of at least a tefach by a tefach by a tefach. And therefore, instead of the oihel on top of it spreading impurity to anything else that is underneath that oihel, the tumor would spread directly above and directly below the piece of the dead body. So the example the Mishnah gave was a pillar inside of a building that goes from the floor all the way until the ceiling, and underneath the pillar in the ground is a piece of a dead body. The tumor travels in a line directly upwards. And even though in general, when tumor enters a area that has an oil on top of it, it would automatically spread to everything in that oil. So in this case as well, to the extent that the pillar is inside of a building, and there's a roof on top of this building, one may have thought that as soon as the impurity travels upwards, even though it's inside of the pillar, since the pillar is part of the oihel, it's part of that room, it's inside of that room, so it should automatically spread to everything in that room. However, the previous Mishnah taught that that is not the case, because the pillar is totally closed, and so the tumor rises directly above the piece of the dead body, but it is able to be contained within the pillar itself. This Mishnah continues to talk about a very similar case to the previous Mishnah, but we are going to understand that over here we're talking about where the piece of the dead body is exactly as wide as the pillar itself. And therefore, by saying that the impurity will rise above and below it, we're essentially saying that the entire pillar will become impure, so any item which is inside of the pillar would become impure. An additional difference between the previous Mishnah's case and this Mishnah's case is that this pillar is wider at its very top, and the Mishnah calls this a perach, which literally means a flower, because usually it would be wider for the sake of decoration, and it would have a shape similar to a flower. Also, many understand that this Mishnah is not even talking about a pillar inside of a house. It could even be talking about a pillar which is out in the open, because the main point of the Mishnah is that the wider part of the pillar at the top is at least a tefach wide in and of itself. It stretches at least a tefach away from the main part of the pillar. And that means that underneath it is formed an oihel. And the Mishnah talks about a case where kelim shetachas haperach, there are objects on the floor directly beneath this flower, this wider part of the pillar at the top, and they're considered to be within the oihel of that part of the pillar. So in the case where there is a piece of a dead body directly underneath the pillar, and the piece of the dead body is as wide as the main part of the pillar, but it does not stretch to the width of the part of the pillar which is at the top, as can be shown on the diagram for this Mishnah. The Mishnah says that tahirim, the objects which are underneath the wider part of the pillar, would remain pure, because this is a case of tumarat tzutza, where the impurity stretches only in a direct line upwards and downwards, but not to the sides. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the objects would become tomei, because since the entire main part of the pillar has become tomei, due to the fact that the piece of the dead body is as wide as the main part of the pillar, so the wider part of the pillar at the top is considered to be totally secondary to the pillar itself. So since the entire main part of the pillar has become tomei, the part of the top which extends outwards also becomes tomei, which means that tumor spreads to anything which is underneath it as well, because it's forming an oihel, and therefore the objects which are directly underneath that wider part of the pillar would become tomei, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Continues the Mishnah, in a case where we have a pillar with this wider part of the pillar stretching outwards, and it's out in the open, not inside of a house, and hatumava kelim shtach zaperach, there is a piece of a dead body, as well as objects which are both situated underneath the wider part of the pillar, even if they're on two different sides of the pillar, as long as the wider part of the pillar stretches a tefach on both sides, it's all considered to be part of the same oihel, and therefore miyashom b'seach tefach, as long as there is a space of a tefach by a tefach by a tefach, then tamein, the objects would become tomei, v'im lav. If not, then certainly the whole concept of the tumor being spread via the roof on top of it wouldn't apply, and the items would remain tahirin, they would remain pure. The second half of the Mishnah talks about Shnei Pardiskim Zebetzadzeh, two closets which are built into the wall of a house, one next to the other. Apparently the walls were very thick and they were able to build a closet into the actual wall of the house. And there are two such closets, one next to the other, they're not necessarily touching. Or it could be that one of the closets is above the other one. And if there was a piece of a dead body inside one of these closets, then certainly the entire house would become tomei, even if the door of the closet is closed. And this is because of the concept of soif tumalotzeis, that if eventually a piece of a dead body is going to be removed from where it is and taken through an adjacent room, already from now, midrabbanan, that adjacent room will be considered tomei. And therefore, if the piece of impurity, the piece of the dead body, is inside one of these closets, even if the door is closed, the entire house and the items in the house would become tomei midrabbanan. But the Mishnah is talking about a case where the dead body, or the piece of the dead body, is underneath one of these closets. It's in the ground somewhere, directly underneath one of these closets, and there isn't a space of a tefach by a tefach by a tefach where that dead body is, which means that it's considered to be tumarut tzutza, squashed impurity that travels and is transferred to anything which is directly above and directly below it. So the impurity would enter into the closet which is directly above the piece of the dead body, and that closet itself is considered to be an oihel, which means that it fills up the entire closet, not just the part which is directly above the dead body. However, being an oihel, that also means that it will prevent the tumah from continuing to travel upwards, which means that in the case where you have one closet above the other one, the upper closet will remain pure, since the tumah is blocked by the roof of the bottom closet. And all of this is in a case where the door, the opening of both of the closets are closed. Since the piece of the dead body is directly underneath at least one of the closets, it would enter into that closet. And any item which is in the closet, even if it's not directly above the dead body, would become tomei, because the closet forms an oihel in and of itself. The part of the wall of the actual house is the roof of that closet, and that would transfer the tumah to any item inside of the closet. However, the second closet, whether it's above it or in a different place in the wall, that would obviously remain pure. Now, it should be noted that we see from this Mishnah that the concept of soif tumalotzeis, that if eventually a piece of a dead body is going to go through a room, so already from now, midrabbanan, it's tomei, that only applies to the actual dead body, the source of the impurity. We don't have a similar concept with regards to the tumah that is created in the closet as a result of the piece of the dead body which is underground. And the reason for that is pretty simple, because the whole idea is the fact that that piece of dead body is going to be taken through that room. That doesn't apply to the impurity. The impurity is not going to be taken through the room, and therefore the concept of soif tumalotzeis does not apply to the impurity, but rather only to the source of the impurity, the dead body. Now, what happens if niftach echon mehen, one of the closets is opened up? And we're talking about the closet which became tomei. So either that means the lowest closet, or the closet which was above the piece of the dead body. Once there is now an opening from the closet to the actual inside of the house, huva bayis tomei, that closet as well as the house would be tomei. Any item which is inside of the house would become tomei, vachaveiroi. However, the other remaining closet, tohor, would remain pure. Because it's closed, it's not considered to be inside of the house. Even though in general, the inner half of a wall of a house is considered to be like the house. Over here, that the closet has a significant function in and of itself, we view it separately, and as long as it is closed, it will remain pure. Now, we mentioned a couple of minutes ago that if both of the doors of the closets are closed, then only the bottom closet would become tomei, but the upper one would remain pure. The truth is, this is only what we, based on the rules that we know until now, that should have really been the case. But the Mishnah mentions a unique law in this case that actually, in reality, this is not the case. And in such a case where both of the doors of the closets are closed, since the closets are built into the wall and essentially they're part of the wall, the rein es hapardiskin keiluhu oitem, we view the closets as if they are blocked up. We ignore the fact that there is a space inside the wall which is at least a tefach by a tefach by a tefach and forms an oihel in and of itself. We totally ignore the hollow part of the wall, and we view it as a regular wall, a regular outer wall of a house, such that Yidon Mechtza Lemechtza, it is judged half-half, meaning that the inner half of the wall is considered to be secondary to the house, Lehovia Satum Alabayis, and if there is a source of impurity in the inner half, it would transfer the tumor to the inside of the house. And we literally view it as a regular outer wall of a house. Perek Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah introduces a concept called Kever Sosum, which literally means a totally closed and sealed grave. And this refers to a new law, a new concept which exists in the world of Tumah, that if a piece of a dead body is inside of a grave or any other structure that is totally closed up and has no opening, then as long as there is a tefach by a tefach of empty space inside of that structure, we view the entire structure as if it itself is a dead body. To such an extent that if, for example, only a part of the grave or whatever structure it may be was placed under a particular roof, and under that same roof is a object, the law is that even if only a part of a dead body is placed under a roof, it can transfer its impurity. And in this case, even if none of the actual dead body itself is underneath that roof, but part of the grave is underneath the roof, even then it would be able to transfer its tumor to the other object which is underneath the same roof. Says the Mishnah, Hatumah Bakaisal, if there is a piece of a dead body inside a wall of a house. And we're talking about a house which is more like a apartment building with many apartments, one on top of the other. And the dead body is inside the wall, which means that it's surrounded on all sides. There is no opening. Umakoymot tefach al tefach al rum tefach. And its space inside of the wall, there is over there in that same place where the piece of the dead body is an empty space of a tefach by a tefach with a height of a tefach. In this case, we're going to view the entire wall as a kever sasum. This is a structure inside of which there is a space of at least a tefach by a tefach by a tefach of empty space, as well as the dead body, the piece of the dead body. And it's surrounded by the wall on all sides. And the entire structure now becomes like the dead body. So even all of the wall that is above the dead body, even though it continues for quite a lot of the height, all of that is part of this structure, and it would all be considered like a dead body. And this is essentially one of the walls for each of the stories of this apartment building. So the roof of each floor, of each story, is being held partly by this wall, and therefore its impurity would be transferred to each of those roofs, each of the rooms. And that's what the Mishnah says, Kol Aliyos Shel Gabo, all of the upper stories above, higher up in this apartment building, Afilu Hein Eser, even if there are 10 different stories, one on top of the other, or more, Tomeis, they would become Tomei, and any item in that building would be impure. Next case, Haisa Aliyah Achas, if there was one upper story, Al Gabi Shnei Botim, on top of two lower stories. That is to say, on the ground floor there are two adjacent rooms. The ground floor is split into two, whereas the story above that, or the multiple stories above that, are all made up of just one room. And there is a piece of a dead body together with an empty space of a tefach by a tefach by a tefach inside of the wall that divides the two rooms on the ground floor, which makes that wall a kever sosum. However, this wall ends at the top of the bottom, the ground floor, because all of the other stories do not have a wall going up in the middle of them. So in this case, apart from the ground floor, which obviously would be Tomei, he Tomeiah, the story, the floor which is directly above that, would also become Tomei, since part of the floor of the second story is the top of this wall. The wall of which splits the two rooms on the ground floor reaches the floor of the second story, which means that the second story would gain the impurity from this kever sosum. However, v'chol ha'aliyos she'al gabo, all of the other stories which are above that, tahoros, would remain pure. Next case in the Mishnah, kaisel shunis. Some Mishnahs read shenis, but most understand that the Mishnah should read kaisel shunis, which is a kind of wall which is formed as a barrier to prevent a river or sea from flooding. So they would build a sort of wall or mound which was pretty high to prevent the water from going past that junction. Now, this obviously had to be very strong, so there wouldn't be any empty spaces inside of the thickness of the wall, that would weaken the wall. And therefore, this is just a classic example of tumor tzutza. If there is a piece of a dead body inside of that wall, tumor bikas v'olo bikas v'yaredes, the impurity would spread upwards and downwards in a direct line, but that wall would not become a keresosum because there is certainly no empty space inside of the wall where the piece of the dead body is, which is a tefach by a tefach by a tefach. Alright, now the Mishnah goes on to give another example where in certain cases it would be tumor tzutza, in other cases it would be a keresosum. Nefesh atumo, a tombstone which is blocking the impurity. That means that it's a situation of tumor tzutza, squashed impurity. The tombstone is right next to, it's on top of, and right next to the piece of the dead body. There's less than a tefach of space in between them. In such a case, it's tumor tzutza, which means that the dead body's impurity spreads directly upwards and directly downwards. But the tombstone itself does not become a kever sosum. We don't view it as if now that's like a dead body. And therefore, hanugea bob minatzdodin, if somebody touches the tombstone on the side of it, which isn't directly above the dead body tohar, he would remain pure. Because the tumor just spreads directly upwards and directly downwards. However, if the area where the piece of the dead body was, if over there there was a empty space of a tefach by a tefach, with a height of a tefach, then if somebody touches the tombstone at any place of on the tombstone, even if it's not directly above the piece of the dead body, tomei, he would become impure, because the tombstone becomes like a kever sosum, and it's treated as if it is the dead body itself. Now, in the case of the tombstone, which does not become a kever sosum, somach lo sukkos, if somebody builds a hut right next to it, and he uses the tombstone as a wall, and the source of impurity is situated underneath the half of the wall that is closest to the inside of the hut. Just like with regards to the wall of a house, the inner half of the wall is considered to be like the inside of the house. So too over here, and therefore Tameis, any item which is inside of the hut would become impure. However, Rabbi Yehuda Metaher, Rabbi Yehuda says that the item would remain pure because over here, certainly the main function of the wall is as a tombstone, not as a wall of the hut. It happens to be he also made a hut out of it. But the only reason that we would consider the inner half of the wall to be an extension and secondary to the house is because its entire purpose is for the sake of the house. But over here, that's not the case. Rehuda understands that we view the wall in and of itself, and it is not secondary to the inside of the hut at all. Mishnah Beis, the term oihel literally means a tent, but in this Masechta we've been translating an oihel according to its more precise definition in terms of the laws of Tumah as being a roof. Now, if there is a structure which is made up essentially of two different walls which have been slanted against each other, and there is no flat roof on top of it, there is an opinion that holds that such a structure will not be considered an oihel, because there is no visible roof, and we really view it all as just being the walls. However, according to this Mishnah, kol shepui oholim koy oholim, any slanted parts of a tent are considered to be like a regular tent, which is another way of saying that even if it is slanted, we can view it as a roof. And even if there's a structure that has part of its roof being flat and part of it is slanted. So I might have thought that the slanted part I will view as a wall in that case. And if there is a piece of impurity or an item which is underneath that slanted part, and it's not underneath the flat part of the roof in the middle, at the top, so then it won't become tomei, because it's not directly underneath the flat part of the top. The Mishnah says that is not the case, because we view it all as one oihel. The slanted part combines with the flat part of the roof, and it's all considered to be like one roof, and anything in that room would become impure. The Mishnah gives another example, oihel shu shofea v'yoyred, a roof which slants downwards, v'kolad ke'etzba, and it ends off at the top of the roof with a flat part which is only the width of a finger breadth. And the truth is, the same law would apply even if there is no flat part at all. Even then, this is considered to be a roof, and tumah b'oihel if there is a piece of dead body underneath that slanted roof, kelim shtachzah shipuah tameim, any objects which are underneath even the slanted part would become tomei, and tumah shtachzah shipuah, if there's a piece of dead body underneath the slanted part, kelim shibo'ehel tomein, objects which are underneath the flat part of the roof would become tomei. The next part of the Mishnah talks about Tumas Oyholim, and this is not to be confused with Tumas Oyhel. Tumas Oyhel refers to the ability for impurity to be transferred by being under the same roof as another item. Tumas Oyholim refers to the impurity that the roof itself receives by being on top of the dead body. And since the roof on top of the dead body is considered to be a kli as opposed to a person, it is an object at the end of the day. We learned right at the beginning of the Masechta that when a object touches a dead body, or becomes tummy from a dead body, it becomes an avi avay satuma, on the exact same level as the dead body itself. And that means that just like if somebody touches the dead body, they become tummy for 7 days, and they have to go through a more extensive purification process, the same applies to somebody who touches the tent. However, very interestingly, we view the inside of the tent and the outside of the tent as if they're two different parts. The explanation behind this is because a oihel also has the ability to prevent tumma from passing beyond it. And that means that the tumma does not even pass to the other side, to the outside of the roof. However, the outside of the roof is also tome just from the mere fact that it is touching and it's part of the same object as the inner roof. But because it's tome only as a result of that, so it's tome on a lower level. It's tome on the level of something that touched the item that touched the dead body. Says the Mishnah, tumma mitoicha, if there is a piece of a dead body inside of a room underneath a roof, hanegea bo mitoicha, one who touches the inside of the roof, tomei tumas shiva, becomes tomei for 7 days, as if he touched the dead body itself. Whereas umei achirov, if he only touches the outside of the roof, tomei tumas erev, he's tomei until the evening, just like something that touched an item that touched the dead body. What happens if tumei achirov, if the piece of dead body was behind, meaning above the roof? The roof obviously becomes tomei because it's directly underneath the dead body. And this time it's going to be the opposite. Hanugebo me'achirov, one who touches the outside of the roof, the top part of it, tome tumas shiva, he will become tome for 7 days, as if he touched the dead body itself, mitoichai. Whereas if somebody touches the other side of the roof, this time the lowest part of the roof, inside, tome tumas erev, he is only tome until the evening. What happens if kachat zayis mitoichai v'kachat zayis me'achirov? There is a piece of a dead body that's half the size of an olive, underneath the roof, inside, and there's another piece of a dead body which is also half the size of an olive above the roof. And only if we combine both of them together is the tent going to be tomei. And since we're combining them together, they only have the strength to make the either side of the roof the minimum amount of impurity that can be caused to either side. And therefore, if somebody touches the roof, whether he touches the lower part or the upper part, tomei tumas erev, he will be tomei only until the evening. Alright, next case of the Mishnah. If part of the roof is dangling and dragging along the ground, a roof was formed from some sort of material, and the material is longer, and therefore the remaining part of the material, once it reaches the ground, it's just spread on top of the ground without any space underneath it. It's resting on the ground, tumma tachtov, if there is a piece of a dead body underneath that part of the material, el gabov, or on top of it, since that part has not got any empty space beneath it, it's not considered to be part of the oihel at all, and therefore tumma bekasa oilo bekasa yeredes, the tumma would just be spread directly upwards and directly downwards. That having been said, this is with regards to Tumas Oihel, to transferring impurity via being under the same roof, that the roof transfer impurity to another item. But in terms of Tumas Oiholim, which is the impurity that exists on the Oihel itself, the roof itself, since it's ultimately the same material as the rest of it, so this part of the material would also be impure, just like the rest of the Oihel, because it's the same item. So if somebody touches the material itself, it'll be Tomei for 7 days. Continues the Mishnah, Oyel Shunoto Ba'aliya, if there is a roof, like a tent, which has been set up in an upper story of a house, and Miktsosai, part of the material which is forming this roof, Merudo Dal Ha'aruba, is lying flat, and it covers a skylight, a hole in the ceiling of the lower story. In this case, possibly we would consider even that part to be considered an Oyel, because this time it is on top of an empty space, the entire lower story. And because of that, Rabbi Yosi says that Matzil, it would save and prevent impurity from passing through it, because it has got the status of a regular oihel, because it's on top of all of the empty space of the lower story. However, Rabbi Shimon says, Eino matzil ad shei notu kintiyas oihel. It does not prevent impurity from passing through it, unless it has the form of a roof. But in this case, we can hardly consider this to be a roof. It's lying flat on the floor of the upper story. It happens to be that there's a hole there, and therefore it also is covering the lower story. But in terms of the form in which it is standing and situated, this is not one of a roof, and therefore has not got the unique ability that an oihel regularly has to prevent impurity from passing through it. Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah discusses details of a concept that we've seen a number of times already, of soif tumalotzeis, that if a dead body is eventually going to be taken through a particular room, then even if all of the doors and openings in the room that the dead body is currently in are closed, nevertheless, already from now, midrabbanon, the other room through which the dead body is going to be taken through is tomei already from now. Hameis v'abayis, if there is a full dead body inside of a house, uvoi p'sochen harbe, and there are many openings, many doors surrounding this room, even if all of the doors are locked and closed, kulon tomein, all of the rooms on the other side of any of the doors will be impure midrabbanon, because at this point it's unclear through which door the dead body is going to be taken through. And therefore, midrabbanon, all of them are considered to be tomei. Niftach echomehen. If one of the doors gets opened, then from this point onwards, it's assumed that the dead body is going to be taken through that open door. And because of that, hu tomei, the room on the other side of that door will be tomei midrabbanon, v'chulon tahirin, whereas all of the other rooms on the other sides of these doors will be pure. Now, make no mistake, the other rooms already became impure. Any item which is in the other rooms already became impure before the door was opened. But the law of the Mishnah is relevant for an item which will be brought into one of those other rooms from now onwards. From now onwards, we view it as being pure, but the items which were already there beforehand would have already become impurified. The Mishnah adds that even without opening one of the doors, it is still possible to define one of the doors as the one through which the dead body will be carried and removed, and that will save all of the other rooms from their impurity. If the person who was responsible for removing the dead body intended, he had a thought and an intention to remove it through a specific door, or through a window, as long as the window is at least 4x4 tefachim, it's large enough to carry the dead body through it, then hitzil al klapsachim, he would save all of the other entrances and doors from the impurity traveling beyond them. Once again, this is only relevant for items which will be brought into those rooms from this point onwards. The Mishnah brings an argument as to when exactly he needs to have this intention. Bishamai and Bishamai say, this intention will only help if yachshiv ad shelo yomus hameis, if he has the intention before the person dies. But if the person died and the truma managed to escape midrabbanon at least through all of those entrances, in order to change that situation, which already exists, of the truma spreading into all of the rooms, it's not sufficient just to have a mere intention. One needs to do an action to change a situation that already exists. Only if you had the intention before the situation of impurity existed would the intention be enough. However, Basil argue, and according to Basil say, Af Mishamais, even if he has the intention after the person died, that is enough to change the situation, and from this point onwards, the impurity would travel only through the door which he has the intention of removing the dead body through. If one of the doors, Hayasosim, was closed up with a pile of stones, for example, the Nimnach Lefoschai, and the one responsible for removing the dead body decided to open up that opening, that entrance, only once he opens it by at least 4x4 tefachim, which is enough to allow the dead body to be carried through, only once he does that would it save the other entrances from the impurity from going through them. And since he's doing an action, even Bishamai agree that this can be done after the person died. However, Bishamai say, Kshayaschil, as soon as he starts removing the stones, he already shows his intention to remove the dead body through that entrance specifically. So even though it's not yet open enough, since he's clearly showed his intention, that is enough according to Beis Hillel. Now even Beis Hillel agree that over here it's not enough just to have the intention. because the doorway has been totally closed up. You need to at least show that you're intending to open up the blockage of the doorway at least. And furthermore, Moedim, even Beis Hillel, agree that Befeseach Batchila, if he's coming to create a new entranceway, which doesn't exist yet, he's breaking down part of the wall. In that case, Yiftach Abot Tfachim, he would need to open it up by at least 4x4 Tfachim, because he's creating a new opening of the wall. Until that exists, it certainly cannot save the other entrances from the Tumah traveling via them.